Love makes us mission ready. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. You know, one of the worst things that we can experience is when we have in our lives where somebody comes up and confronts us with something, and we know we're wrong. But the only way that it gets worse than that is when somebody confronts us and we're wrong, but they do it a second and a third time over and over again. And the only way I can imagine it being worse than that is if the person who's confronting you is the Son of God himself. You see, that's what's going on within our scripture. That's what Peter is facing there on the shore. He recognizes that it's Jesus on the shoreline, the one he loves. And so he immediately tucks in his garment because he's lightly clad, dives into the sea and swims over 100 yards to the shore, running up to him and embracing him. Because his Lord is there. But when he arrives on the shore, you can see that there's a bit of heavy-heartedness that he has when he's encountering Jesus in there. Because Jesus is standing there next to a charcoal fire. Now, when was the last time within the Gospel of John that we see a charcoal fire within the scriptures? Remember, it is the night when he was betrayed. When Jesus was being tried in the council and Peter was outside, what happened that night? First, a servant girl comes up and she says to him, "Hey, aren't you one of the followers of that guy Jesus over there?" And he says, "Oh, no, me? You must be confusing me for somebody else." And then a little bit later, somebody else chimes in and says, "Hey, no, you were one of them. You know him." And he says, "Me? No, you've got to be confusing me for somebody else. I'm not a part of this guy. I have nothing to do with him." And then a little bit later, somebody says, "Yes, your accent is that of a Galilean. You are one of them. You know this Jesus." And then Peter begins to swear up and down, cursing, saying, "I do not know the man." The cock crows. And as Luke's Gospel says, Jesus looked him eyeball to eyeball, and Peter began to weep bitterly and fled. When Peter meets Jesus on the shore, realize that this isn't the first time that he's seen the resurrected Jesus. In fact, the Gospel says that. It's the third time. The first two times where Peter meets the resurrected Jesus is when Peter is there hiding behind locked doors for fear of the Jews, and Jesus passes through without unlocking the doors, bringing confidence to them. But what didn't happen was that none of those times did Peter get brought up on the fact that he denied Christ those three times. So Peter's probably thinking to himself, you know, maybe I get away with this one. Maybe because he died and was bruised and beaten in the head so many times, he's just forgotten about it. But Peter needs this moment. Peter needs this in order to fulfill his mission, which is to spread the gospel, to spread the good news of Christ, to be the leader of the apostles, to be the very first pope that we have. Peter needs this to become mission ready for the thing which God created him for, the moment of his reconciliation, so that he can know that he's actually forgiven, that he's still loved by God despite that utter act of treason. Peter needs this. He needs to know that he's loved. So what's the moment all about? Does Jesus go up to Peter and say that he's going to give him a guilt trip over what's going on, just like our mothers do when we fail in that, to be some sort of passive-aggressive way of getting around it? He says, Peter, we got to have a talk. We got to have a talk about those things that you did, those words that you said, how they hurt me. Remember that time when you stabbed me in the back? We got to talk about that. Jesus doesn't do that, right? He doesn't react to him this way, but rather Jesus says, you know, Peter, I want to talk about your love. I want to talk about my love for you. And out of that love, I want to talk about how you are sent on a mission to spread that love that I'm giving to you to others as well. Feed my sheep, tend my lambs. See, God's mercy, the mercy of Jesus, Christ's love, is about rehabilitation. It's about restoration. It's not about dwelling upon the scandal or the wound that sin has caused. But rather it's about the mercy of Jesus is about healing, is about rebuilding that thing which has been torn asunder, teared down by sin. See, Peter, what he really needed, Peter needed to know that he had been forgiven. He needed to have that certitude that what was in the past was over and done with, so that he could be mission ready, ready for the mission which God had called him for, the reason for which God made him, which is to know, to love, and to serve God, so that Peter could be happy with God forever in the next life and experience that even now. You see, brothers and sisters, we are a sacramental people. We're a people of the sacraments. Now, Anna, how many sacraments are there? Oh, you're dumbfounded right now. Seven sacraments. Seven sacraments. That's how many sacraments there are. But why does God give us sacraments? What are they all about? Sacraments, what they are visible signs of an invisible reality. They are a physical thing so that we can touch and taste them, so that we can manipulate them and feel them in all of our humanity. But what they do is they bring about a spiritual change that can remain in the depths of who we are for all of eternity if we allow them to do so. Sacraments, what they do is they give us certitude that we can touch God's love, to be touched by God's love. Sacraments give us that certitude. Like with baptism. Baptism, what happens is that water gets poured over the head. So we get washed, we get cleansed by that water. But what really happens is that baptism washes our souls from every sin and from every attachment to sin. It's a radical cleansing at the very depths of our souls that makes us Christians. It makes us God's own beloved sons, his own beloved daughters in whom he is well pleased. The Eucharist. What is the Eucharist? But it makes present the very sacrifice of Jesus Christ on Calvary in an unbloody manner so that you and I can experience it, can share in that. The Eucharist, it feeds us with natural food, bread and wine. But if we're worthily receive it, if we worthily receive the Eucharist, what it actually does is it strengthens and nourishes our souls far more than it does our bodies. With Jesus' very body, his blood, his soul, and his divinity, the living, breathing, Eucharistic Lord resurrected for us. What the Eucharist really does is it makes us close enough to God so that we can taste and touch his love for us. That's what the Eucharist is. Confirmation, what does confirmation do? Yeah, you're smiling. Confirmation, what it does is it anoints our heads with that sweet-smelling oil of chrism. But really what's going on is that our very souls are anointed with the indelible mark of God's outpouring of his Holy Spirit upon us, where the Holy Spirit gives us those gifts of wisdom and understanding, of reverence, of knowledge, of courage, of right judgment, and the awe and wonder which is the fear of the Lord, poured out upon us, lavished on us so that we could fulfill our mission in Christ, to bring Christ to our families and to the world. What the sacraments do, brothers and sisters, is they are both physical and spiritual realities that reveal God's love. So what happens when you miss somebody? You haven't seen them in a long time. And so what do? You just go ahead and sit back and they walk into the room and you're there sipping your tea and you say, "Oh, top of the morning to you. Good to see you. Cheerio." And continue with your drink. That's not what happens. When there's somebody that you love that you've missed for a long time, what you do is you put that stuff down, stand up, and race across to embrace them. Because you want to feel their love. God gave us bodies so that we could experience things with our sight, with our touch, with our taste, with our hearing, with our smell, all these senses which God has given us to encounter the world, to express those interior realities that we feel. One of the great consolations that I take in my life is from the very fact that God doesn't say that you just have to eat tasteless things like tofu or watercress or celery. No, what God says in the scriptures, he says, "Taste and see that the Lord is good." Which is something that you all let me experience when you bring me over to your houses. You give me the great glory of chili, both in varieties of green and red, which I love so much. Those are the tastes which God really wants to do. If a sign of God's love for us is that he gives us chili and that you make it for me, that's a sign of God's love to me. But also, Also, what God does when he gives us our bodies is he doesn't just give us these things so that we can say, I love you, and leave it at that with our words. But rather, what he's given us bodies for is to follow it up with a kiss, with an embrace, with something which is physical, a touch. So that when we live out that love which is interior to ourselves, out in our lives, what this really does is it is a living out of the fact that we are a sacramental people. Just like when we walk into the kitchen and we see that light that's turned on, that clean light on the dishwasher. We don't just walk by that and say, oh, yeah, my wife's going to take care of that. Or, hey, mom's going to do that, so I don't have to worry about it, and just march along. No, that's not what we're supposed to do. We empty it, even when it's not our turn to do so. Why? Because then it becomes an act of love. That love which we experience within our hearts and within our souls takes on action. And that's what sacraments are all about. That's making the moment sacramental. You see, Peter had that sacramental encounter with God's mercy there on the Sea of Tiberias in our gospel today. The invisible shackles of sin and of shame were shattered by the visible words of Christ that affirmed Peter in the very love of Christ. The sacrament and all sacraments, what they do is they give Peter certitude that the invisible sins which he has committed, which are weighing and tearing him down, are forgiven through Jesus' words of love. Sacraments, the sacramental forgiveness, the love of God made Peter mission ready to be able to go forth and to preach the gospel, to fulfill the purpose for which God made him, ultimately preaching to his very own crucifixion in the name of Christ. See, the invitation, though, is not just something which is for ages past, but it's for us to encounter as well today, to reach each of us. Jesus' real gift of reconciliation is not just meant for Advent or for Lent, these strong seasons which we have, because we don't just sin two times a year, right? I mean, maybe you do, I don't. We need to experience that each and every time in our lives. You don't just take out your kitchen garbage two times a year, right? Because if you do, then your kitchen really, really reeks. No, your house will begin to smell terribly, so you don't just leave it in there. You take it out. You take it out because you don't want to have a smelly house. We take out the trash, and we regularly renew ourselves, our souls as well. We rid ourselves of that garbage which is sin, which is causing our souls to stink to high heaven. We got to take that garbage out. That's what God has called us to do. Because when we do that, then and only then can we actually be who God has called us to be. Our confirmation students know this. Isn't that what we talked about the last time we had class together? We talked about virtue. And what is virtue? But maximizing our own human potentialities given to us in grace by God. It's not settling for what is second best, but choosing what God's first best is for us in our lives. It's fulfilling our own baptismal call, which is sainthood. Baptism launches us on that path toward sanctity. That's what being mission ready is all about. To complete our mission within our families, within our workplaces, within our class, and within our circles of friends. That's what mission ready is. And if we're going to witness to Christ's love in our lives, we can't be burdened by that garbage of sin and shame, which is still clinging to our souls. We have to get rid of it. That's why Jesus gave us the sacraments of his love. So that we can have certitude. And confession gives us certitude. Because every sin which is confessed within the confessional is absolved and can never be brought up again. God gives us certitude. What happens in the confessional doesn't stay within the confessional. It is actually eliminated and never able to be seen again. This is the freedom which God gives us in his forgiveness. So this Sunday, let us recognize that we are first and foremost a sacramental people. Husbands, at the mention of the dishwasher, I saw a couple of you get nudged in the side by your wives. That means that sometime this week, you got to empty out that dishwasher. Not just once, but maybe a few times to show that love for your wife. But for all of us, what God is calling us to is to wrap our arms around the people who we love sometimes. Not just to leave it at the words, but to experience it in a sacramental way by embracing them so they can know that they are intimately loved and cared for. But even more than the love that we need to share one another, each of us really needs to know the love of Christ. The love which Christ has for each of us. Just as Peter is restored by Jesus from the shackles of his own sinfulness to the freedom of discipleship, which makes Peter ready for his mission, so too we need to experience that as well. To know his reconciliation, to know Jesus' love, not just in the season of Lent and Advent, but whenever. To let God's mercy frequently renew us every month, if not more often, if we fall into sin, so that we can complete God's own mission for us. Because in confession, what happens is that we get rid of all that garbage of sin which is not us, so that we can embrace the virtue toward which God has called us, which is really who we are in Christ Jesus, in our baptism, in his love for us, so that we can maximize that human potential when Jesus affirms his never-failing love for us, no matter what we do. Forgiveness is always there. Love of Christ is always there. Because the sacraments, what they do is they make us mission ready. They reveal to us God's love. The Blessed Mother Teresa of Calcutta, who in a few months will be canonized as a saint, she used to say this all the time. She said, when you know how deeply it is that you are loved by God, you can't help but spend the rest of your life radiating that same love. So when we encounter the sacraments, in confession today and with the Eucharist as well, the sacrament of God's love, we radiate that same love to others. That's what our mission is, brothers and sisters. And the sacraments, they get us ready for it. Praised be Jesus Christ.